Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere, anytime. All you need is a computer with internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. Go to Talkspace.com/LASS and use the promo code LASS, L-A-S-T-S, to get $45 off your first month.
One of my favorite verses is Psalm 84:11, which I really clung to, especially when I was single, because I so longed to be married. And it was, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory, but he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And knowing that in this very moment, today, in my present situation, God is giving me the best that he has for me, that whatever I have right now, this is for my best.
Hey guys, welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where we talk about exactly that every single week, real life. Which means some episodes might be about a fight we just had, some episodes might be about potty training since we have two toddlers, and some might be about eschatological realism because I love thinking and talking about deep theological things. And maybe we'll talk about all three of those in one episode. But we hope the show feels like hanging out in our living room with us, drinking a cup of coffee as we discuss faith and family and culture and Jesus. Me and my lovely wife, Alyssa, are your hosts, and don't hesitate to hit us up or reach out on social media to say hi or comment on this week's episode. Enjoy. What's up, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome back to the Real Life Podcast. Another day, another episode, except we don't do it daily. Another week, another episode.
Happy fall. Happy November.
Yeah.
Happy soon to be Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, don't date the podcast, babe.
Yeah.
Don't date the podcast. Okay. No, I actually know when this one's coming out. This one will come away and like come out in like a week.
It is coming out in November though.
Well,
right?
Sometimes guys, we like batch record because Alyssa is about to pop out a baby, you know,
My water could break right now.
Yeah. So when you
listen to
this podcast, I bet we'll already have the baby. I bet it'll be right around then.
So November.
I think we're like a week or two with all that to say.
Anyway.
One of the rules.
Sometimes I like to date it. And so one then of the I golden can like rules, place it.
Yeah, but that's like one of the golden rules. I mean, we could just look at like when we recorded it. And that would, if we needed to know. That's like one of the golden rules of a video and audio. Don't ever, you guys want to know the industry term for that? It's called make it evergreen. Evergreen, which I don't.
What does that mean?
Someone let me know why that's the word.
Because evergreens last forever? They get so old?
No, that doesn't make sense.
They always look the same?
I usually am really good at like the etymology of words.
They're the same no matter what the season?
I don't know. Maybe that's it. But yeah, I feel like I'm really good at etymology of words. And I feel like I don't. That's probably it. Because the whole, evergreen means basically where it can kind of stay forever and never feel like it's tied to a time period. So. Okay. Well, first of all, like usual, if you're wherever you're listening, this baby is everywhere. This is on, everyone always asks, but it's on Spotify, it's on Google Play, it's on iTunes. We put it on YouTube, the full video. We put it on Facebook, my Facebook, the full episode in HD, crispy biscuits, double camera angle. What else? Oh, and like always, Jefferson Bethke on Instagram always does an Instagram post on the Tuesday, the day the episode comes out, where it's a fun conversation. It's always my favorite part of the week. I know it sounds weird. I mean, favorite part of the internet week, not my favorite part of the week. I got more meaningful stuff than that. But it's my favorite part of the internet week because it's just the discussion's really fun. And we've already talked about it. So hop in there. If you're listening, go find the picture or you can search the hashtag The Real Life Podcast.
It's just fun because podcasts are so one way. So it's really fun to hear your guys' feedback. What stood out to you? What questions you have? What you would disagree with? So that we can kind of have a dialogue.
Totally. And then those that are watching on video, why y'all giving me a hard time for my chapstick? Like a bunch of y'all commented last week.
Did you put it on during recording?
I must have. So guys, this is like I have like borderline OCD like tendencies. And I don't mean that to, you know, even like.
I'd say he had OCD tendencies that are becoming less and less.
Totally. Like I'm actually like it actually is. It probably is part of my actual neurology. But one of them is chapstick, and I literally just put it on and take it out, and so much. Not only that, it's got to be, I'm just really, really particular about it. I have like a ritual with it.
Have you ever told people your ritual?
Well, it's not worth it right now, but we need to get into...
It kind of...
Okay, so every time I open up a new podcast, I have to deal...
You guys should go watch this.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be able to show them because I only have a plain one right here. It has to be the actual chapstick brand. If it isn't like
the blue one,
like get out of here with that Burt's Bees. Like get out of here.
I love Burt's Bees.
Does it smell amazing? Yes. Is it all minty and do my lips tingle so then I just want to kiss you? Yes. But it's like the 99% of chapsticks are way, way disproportionately like kind of oily, mushy, right?
Not Burt's Bees.
100%. No. So chapstick is the only one that can stand my standards, that can approve my pass my standards. Because of like, it's a real hard kind of waxy, you know, consistency. So I take, right when I pull one out, I buy a 50 pack on Amazon, by the way. And I go through that a couple times a year. So I probably buy a couple 50
packs. So if you ever need chapstick, holla at your boy.
De-label it. So immediately after pulling it, I de-label it. I refuse. So it has to be pure white. Pure white. No, I don't want any label. I don't want any stickers on it. Okay. And then I start using it, but it always has to stay perfectly. And I mean perfectly flat with the edge. The people that roll their chapstick up super high, or like my mom, if you're listening, I think you're the person that goes all the way down, where if like when you close it up, you go all the way down.
Yeah, she does.
Mom, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Also, Jeff's mom is a chapstick fanatic.
Yeah, so I did get it. It's hereditary. Is it
yeah, except she likes the black one.
Ooh, that one's
not
terrible.
Not the blue.
So blue one, not the light blue, not the tingly one.
But can I just show the people your like ritual?
Well, you're not going to, they're not going to be able to see it. Like, we're not on like.
Well, no. Okay. So he puts it on his lips like, you know, like 5 times on each lip.
Yep.
And then he smacks his lips together.
You got to smooth it out.
And then he looks at his chapstick and he puts it on all of his knuckles if they're dry.
That's a weird one. I know.
And then.
That's only during the fall. Babe, you're really, hold on. Look at it. Babe, I'm serious.
And then he puts it down and he makes sure it's even.
You just made it, you pressed so hard. You just made it so gross. Like, look at all that shape. Look at that.
There's like a little dent.
Oh, no. Like, babe, that was... We're going to talk about this after the podcast.
Okay, let's get into our topic for today.
You literally... Babe.
I'm sorry. I hit my ring. My ring dented it. But my lips...
That's what I was going to say. One of my pet peeves is when like it becomes dented or chipped or like it's got to stay perfectly flat, perfectly level. And a lot of people get like little dirt and crusties in there. So I wipe that off every single time. I roll it down. Like mine is the cleanest, prettiest, nicest chapstick ever.
But what's funny is I don't use chapstick ever. Yeah. So
guys, I played baseball my whole life.
Just a little more high maintenance.
Played baseball my whole life all the way through college. And I would literally even have it with me in the back pocket in the outfield.
Is it a baseball thing?
No, I don't think so. No, but I would have it in the back pocket with me, is what I'm saying, like where I would even wear it in the baseball field.
Oh, he takes it in his trunks when he goes swimming.
Yes. Okay, so let's get down to this week's episode. This week's episode, we want to talk about something
that we think
not as serious, because chapstick is way more serious. Like there's nothing more serious than chapstick. No, I'm joking. It's the opposite. A topic that we get a lot. Well, first of all, one of the hearts behind this podcast and why we rebranded it to the Real Life Podcast from Love That Lasts is because, first of all, I think, I don't know if it's a lot, but I know a handful and a significant amount, not a minor amount, of you guys are not married.
At least a third.
Yeah, like single, young professional. We got young singles, I would say young adult, college, high school. Well, I don't know if any of the high schoolers listen. If you do, let us know. That'd be sick. But I feel like most of the people we hear from are like young adult, college, in their single
or
stage.
Or in their
40s. Yeah, I was going to say all the way up to about young professional 30s and 40s. So I feel like 20 to 40 is kind of what the people listen. Mm-hmm. Married, but also single, young professional, you know, want to be single, don't want to be single, but whatever it is. Like there's just different walks of life. And so that's why we renamed it, because I feel like what our heart is not super to marriage, it's kind of to everyone. Like I feel like it just, but our context is marriage, meaning like a lot of our analogies, a lot of our things are coming from marriage. So I hope, we try to work extra hard that if we do kind of use an analogy or a point, whatever, with parenting and stuff like that, that we try to say like, oh, is this applicable? Like try to make it applicable to everyone. Like the power of moments one we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where we obviously talked about that from the context of like with the kids, but we tried, you know, I think it's applicable to everyone. So what we wanted to talk about though, is I think because of this, we're really sensitive to this, because we get a lot of messages on this, and because I think a lot of single people follow us, particularly because Alyssa's journey was significantly single until she met me, and you've written about that. It's in your book. So it's kind of like a part of your voice.
People are just getting married a lot later.
Totally.
And so people that have been, not necessarily doing life with us, but have been like with us from the beginning, it's just that now we're in different seasons of life.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And so I think what we want this episode to be is, I feel like one of the more misunderstood theology departments, or whatever you want to call it, or the biblical narratives, it's not just singleness, but singleness and marriage. Like, I think both of those are like two kind of arms in the scripture. And I think we misunderstand both of them, or misunderstand how they relate. And so that's basically.
And we've missed represented or mistalked about them in the church, especially.
Totally. And so that's what I think we want to talk about today, is we want to try to talk about, man, I think there's a biblical narrative that I don't hear talked about enough in relation to people that are single, relation to people that are married, how those work together. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the first point we have to realize, which is where I think we get off the rails. It's not even we get off the rails. It's like we have a lot of presumptions that then put us in a category that I don't, that is like on a different planet than what the scripture is even talking about. And one of the first things that is single or married, like whatever you are, like not tomorrow, whatever you're going to be, whatever you are today, single or married, that is your calling. And not only is that your calling, that's your mission. These things are mission-oriented parts of what God created us to be, right? And so what I mean by that is like to be single is to be on mission in a particular way. Mm-hmm. To be married is to be on mission in a particular way. And I think because we never we're very self-indulgent in our culture. Singleness is for myself. It's to have more time. It's to not give up any response or any independence. It's so I can travel the world, etc. Singleness is for me. Marriage, same thing. Marriage is so that I can have someone so I'm not lonely, so that I'm not, you know, anxious and depressed and hurt and from being lonely, so I can have someone to satisfy me, someone to fulfill me, like the longings of my heart can be met. So, and that, on the surface, those are totally great, but we do have to make sure that that those are just like helpful little nuggets, but those aren't things that are actually how we see the whole thing. So we never take it to the mission level. Like if you follow Jesus, you have been sent on mission as a disciple of Jesus, following him as our rabbi, to go in culture, to go in your school, to go in your workplace and live a life that makes disciples, whether you're single, whether you're married. So I think that's where we just get off the wrong foot, is because we don't see singleness and marriage as mission, like, identities or mission opportunities or kind of mission institutions. That's more of the word I'm looking for. Hey guys, I want to take a break to tell you about one of this week's sponsors, and that is Care Of. You've heard us talk about them a couple months ago. We love Care Of. If you don't know who they are, they're a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. The cool part is you start out with an online quiz. So they have this fun online quiz that asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices, and it only takes, I think, about 5 minutes to find out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. And then they take care of everything with immense convenience. So a portion of every sale goes towards the Good Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins, which is why we love them. And they get delivered right to your door in personalized, easy to remember daily packs. Perfect for whatever kind of lifestyle you live. And the reason I loved them the most is particularly because that quiz, the easiness of specificity of, you know, I have some things where I struggle with sleep. I have a past of asthma and allergies. And so there's a couple different things where I can be deficient in. And so it was really, and it was funny how those popped up in the quiz within a couple minutes. And then there was, and then through the vitamins, I quickly saw a filling of that and seeing of that gap being filled in a really healthy and awesome way. So we want to hook you guys up for 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter our promo code Jeff and Alyssa, all one phrase, all one wording. So again, for 25% off your first month, go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code Jeff and Alyssa. Love you guys.
Well, I think it can be tricky as a single person, because even you saying that, I remember when I was single and people would talk about like, oh, you know, God gives some the gift of singleness, yeah, or I'm called to be single, and I would cringe and like die.
You're because like, I was like,
Lord,
be.
I don't know. I do not totally want to have that gifting.
Can I? Yeah, but it's like, keep the receipt. Do I have the receipt? Can I return it? Can I return that gift?
So I think there's this tension where I love what you're saying that, and I think it's to focus on the present, and it's not to say that you can't, like,
all these
seek
change.
The Lord.
Yeah, they all change.
The seasons change. Seek the Lord. Give him your desires. Pursue relationships. Go on dates. Like, look forward to marriage if you're single and you really want that, and keep asking the Lord for that. But then realizing that in this moment, God has a mission for you, and your mission right now is as a single person. And I think that just totally gives insight. Then one of my favorite verses is Psalm 84:11. Which I really clung to, especially when I was single, because I so longed to be married. And it was, you know, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory, but he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And knowing that in this very moment, today, in my present situation, God is giving me the best that he has for me, that whatever I have right now, this is for my best. And so I think when we rest in that, when we sit in that, when we actually let those words give life to us, then we can be like, okay, right now in this season today, I am on mission as a single person, or I am on mission as a married person. And God gave me my husband or my wife to fulfill this mission that he has for us. And so I think that just like gives it so much purpose, whatever relationship status you have.
Well, I think it's okay to feel like you're in a season of a calling that still also hurts and is hard. I think we think that because it's a calling, it's got to be like super fulfilling. It's got to just be really romantic, when it's like, no, like you can be called to something that hurts or that's hard, or that's kind of like a desert road. But I also think the Lord doesn't leave you there. Like he wants to take you and grow you and journey you.
And there's still fruit there.
And still fruit there, 100%. I think both married and single people have parts of that where we kind of get discontent, when it's like, no, this is the part of that that we want to go. Here's the best analogy I've heard and that I think we need to reclaim. When you open the New Testament, it's almost, this is one of those Matrix things where I feel like when you see it, you totally see it and it's everywhere and you totally understand it, but it's because we don't talk about it a ton, we kind of just don't see it. So it's kind of like once you really get escape the Matrix, you totally see it, you can never go back. And it's very clear to me once you see it that in scripture, Paul, Jesus, the New Testament specifically, but you also see it in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament was so much more of a long spanning thing. That singleness and marriage were treated as two vitally necessary institutions that actually had to work together to get the job done. Like we put them as two separate things. We put them as like, you can be single over here, you can be married over here.
They and can't, it's like relate.
Yeah. When it's like, it's actually the opposite. Like it's very much like it was a symbiotic relationship, like the double helix of like a DNA, where they got like singleness and marriage got wrapped together as a necessary kind of entity to actually go about the mission of the kingdom of God. And the best kind of analogy I've heard about this is like, it's kind of like the outpost and the infantry of an army, right? Where like the outpost is this, the outpost, if you know, it's still out there on mission, but the outpost is the place where you get the supplies, where you rest, where you recharge, where you get the battle plan, where you get resources. That's what's the biggest thing. The outpost is where you get resources, like where you get your ammo, where you get your uniform, where you get all these things, where you sleep at night. But then the army is not the outpost. The army is the people that then go from the outpost to the front lines, or the infantry, and actually fight the battle on the front lines. Like the battle is still also where the outpost is, just like when you're in war, you know, they all are. But there's the front lines and there's the outpost. And to me, I think that's a really good analogy that I think we need to recover, that marriages have for too long kind of abdicated their responsibility of being places of rest and recharge and a spilling of their resources to single people. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like we kind of get married and then kind of move on and leave single people. We stop having single friends. We stop inviting them into our home. We kind of don't pour into them anymore. When I know a lot of single people, especially more at the kind of 30 and under range, who they like want, like they're like, why don't you, like, why, like I've got a lot of messages of people like, all my married friends go to dinner and they just like, why don't they, you know, invite me, or why don't they bring me in? And so I think if you're married, my challenge to you first is, man, if you're married and you're, you know, like there's an economic power and there's a strength of the institution that just comes with being married in America or in anywhere else, actually, where it's like you become a team and an entity that actually has a lot of resources to share, to kind of use. Now, hopefully we don't over leverage our life to the point where we can't give it to anyone else, right? Like I think a lot of marriages, sometimes we want certain things and need certain things so much that we push all our resources to the edge. So we have nothing left to give.
For each other.
Or I mean, just for our own wants, like kind of saying like consumerism, stuff like that. So then we have nothing left to give. But man, do we actually create space to be a hotbed of a place that's kind of like a landing pad for singles? And then singles, I think same thing. Like, are you pursuing a place of a landing pad to actually put you more on mission so that you're not lonely, so that you're recharged, so that you're fed, so that you're taken care of? Now, this can be a metaphor in the sense of like just being in relationship with married people, of like recharging, resting, et cetera, or it can actually be like literally like move in with people, but it's not like one or the other. And I remember when I was single, like 19, 20, I primarily got discipled. I remember Lloyd Cherry and as a good friend of mine. It was funny because he was like one of my best friends, but he was at college, but his family, like
his son.
Yeah. So Lloyd Cherry's the dad, but his son, who was my best friend, was at college. even though I was in town, but like basically I created a relationship with just the parents because I just started walking with the Lord and they kind of took me in where I'd meet over there once a week. And we would literally like, he would disciple me. We'd go through the scriptures. They'd make a meal for me. And it's like, I can't do all that stuff for myself. Right. There was a, like that to me, it's hard to explain, but that totally made sense of like, I got kind of adopted into their family for a couple years and they discipled me. And I was more on the move, right? Like there's like, he's got a job and he's done been doing his thing and they're stable and they got a house and they got a mortgage. When I was more on the move, I was more the army of trying to be discipled, learn, get the skills, grow, etc.
To pour into.
To then grow in my own self.
Your college students and baseball players.
And just kind of be on mission. I just, what I'm saying is I think you're a little bit more mobile if you're single and you have to kind of take advantage of that. Now, again, there's so many complexities, so many different stories. Don't just think like it's, oh, I'm single. I have to just go do crazy, risky adventure stuff. And I'm married so I can do nothing. No, that's not it. But I do think we've kind of conflated everything in scriptures. And another good example is like when Jesus says, we kind of hear those verses like, you know, you need to hate your family. You need to hate your mother and brother. You need to hate all these things, you know, and pick up your cross and follow me. Now he's speaking hyperbole there, but he's also speaking to a Jewish culture that literally believed because they were in the lineage of Abraham, they were good to go. Like there was nothing left to do. And for him to do his kingdom movement of turning the world upside down, he realized that was an impediment. So I feel like there is a little bit more of a cultural context to those verses where he kind of says, give up everything, not give up everything. But I think the ones specifically family related, like that was the cultural idol. It's not the cultural idol anymore. Like none of us, in my opinion, are even close. I have never met one person in the West who like, I feel like that is the verse they need. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I just think we got it. Like that is a very, like when you actually dig into the Jewish roots and the actual understanding of the first century context, that verse held way different weight when Jesus said that. But we interpret that again as like, oh, I just need to, like we actually abuse that verse in the West, I think, and kind of like, oh, I just need to disconnect from my family and not honor my parents and not ever care about them and blah, you know, and just be single and individual. Like that's the West's idol, individualism. But so yeah, there's kind of like a submission of marrieds and singled. And I feel like I'm kind of rambling, but I feel like hopefully this comes across. And then I want you to hear you talk. But the last one I'll give is this example. So it's the outpost and the infantry. And so you have to ask yourself, which one am I in right now? Am I the outpost or am I the infantry? And that's why we've had like, we believe we're the outpost. Once I got married, I was no longer in that like, you know, single mindset. And so I got married. So my calling changes based on the, you know, wedding certificate. And so we've kind of then changed our perspective identity where then we start welcoming people into our home. Not only do we welcome singles, not only do we do college ministry where we literally served hundreds of singles for like years or a couple of years, but then we also had, I was trying to think, I think we've had three, we're only been married 6 years. And I think we've had three people live in our house, singles, like long-term, you know what I mean? And that's pretty like, I don't know many people that have been married 6 years or younger and have had that many people live in their house. And I'm not saying that's like a brownie point thing. I'm just saying like, we take it serious.
Yeah.
Like we take it serious of like, we want, like there, and again, it's symbiotic. Like those, it wasn't just like, a, oh, we want to help you. It was, a, oh, they helped us. We helped them. There's a symbiotic relationship. And don't be the people that just do that and then make all them babysit your kids. Like the single people are not just to get babysitters, right? They're actually to, they're for us to equip them, help them, give them resources to be on the mission that God has for them. And I'm excited about that because they can be more mobile and nimble, right? And so then there's that verse in Luke 10 where it's one of my favorite verses and kind of like my, what I want to be in life, where Jesus sends out the 72 disciples. This is not the 12. He sent out the bigger group, 72. And he basically tells them to go around. He's kind of giving them like the blueprint for mission. And he says, go around. And when you enter a town, immediately find the person of peace, right? And so now why? Because again, like you can't just pop up in a town with no context. When again, we're a de-relationalized culture, so we kind of can. But back then, you actually needed the person of peace to do anything of effective value or work. Like you had to find kind of the patriarch or matriarch of that little 100-person village. Or else like if you know in a, if you know small towns now, it's like that, right? Like when you walk into a small town, everyone kind of looks at you like, why are you here, right? But if all of a sudden the person who's like an icon and a legend in that town walks next to you and you're kind of the one that like says, hey, I'm vouching for them, then the whole town looks at you differently. And so Jesus says, go house by house until you, like he says, don't stay there unless you find the person of peace. You will not do any good valuable work unless you find the person of peace. That's crazy, right?
Which, who is the person of peace?
So I think, again, I think the person of peace is like anyone in a city who's a little bit more like, stable, iconic, kind of like an elder of the neighborhood. That's the best way I think
about
it. Did
it have to be old?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think just like, I mean, I think it's a level
kinda of like a pillar of the community.
Yeah, like a pillar of the community. Go find that person. Mm-hmm. And like even that word, a person of peace, right? I think that explains itself. Like not a person of dissension or division or destruction or sin. But like, you know those people, right? You know those persons of peace where like they are just, they are in a very intangible way the people that everyone looks up to or as like brings peace to the neighborhood. There's a shalom that comes out from them, right? That really blesses the neighbors, the city, the town. And you know those people. We all know those people. And so like to me, that's like my goal in life is I want to be a person of peace. I want to be this stable kind of headquarters, like nervous center, epicenter type household, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That like we can actually then house and resource and bless people that are on God's mission, just like we are, but in a totally different way. Hey guys, I want to tell you about one of this week's sponsors, and that is Talkspace. They're the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere, anytime. All you need is a computer and internet connection. I can't imagine fitting anything else into our life with toddlers and little ones. We're very thin with our schedule, but the cool part with Talkspace is therapy is easy as sending your therapist a message. You can get something off your chest whenever you need to, and you can talk about everyday challenges at your work or at home. Just chat about life with a licensed professional who knows what they're doing. Now, remember, therapy isn't just about venting and the innermost thoughts or digging into your childhood memories. It's also about practical everyday strategies for stress management and living a more flourishing life. So the Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face. So to match you with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/LASTS and use the code LASTS, that's LASTS, to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's LASTS and Talkspace.com/LASTS. So, yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
Sorry, I just talked for like 20 minutes.
No, it's good. So I think the main thing is if you are married, to see yourself like the Lord, most likely you have a home, whether you're renting or you own a home. And regardless of if you have kids or not, that you are kind of, I see it as, you are kind of this like safe haven.
Oh, that's the word I was looking for. I couldn't get there. I was trying to think. Thank
because
you.
I don't work in army terms. You're kind of the safe haven that you want, or like a mother hen or something. Like you want to welcome people in to, whether it's just having a meal or they come live with you or whatever it is, to just like welcome people in and to give them a place of rest and a place of refuelment. Is that a word? Refuelment?
Yeah, a refuel.
Refilling. And I just can think of, man, when I was single, whether I was in college or not, I just love being invited to someone's home and just being able to sit on a couch.
Yeah.
Like anyone, instead of my dorm bed or my, you know, or just to have like
It's like anyone who's ever experienced it really knows the feeling. Like that's it. That's the magic.
Well, I'm just saying this because if you are in the married category, there's no pressure. It's not like you have to be like, oh, okay, to walk with Jesus, now I need to do this, like another thing. But it's just however you and your husband or your spouse, whatever your giftings are, whatever you feel like you can handle in this season. In some seasons, it's like really, really minimal. And sometimes it's a lot more where you could actually invite someone to come live with you.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
I think it's less pressure. So what I mean by this is, and this is why I love it, because I think it's more organic and the New Testament model.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go on a rant, so you can keep talking. What I'll say is this, like, I think it's less pressure. What's a lot of pressure when we're married and we have kids is when the church starts saying, you need to serve here, you need to be in children's ministry, you need to lead a Bible study, you need to, I'm like, no, like I have zero moments for that. I have zero time for that. And I don't feel guilty anymore about saying no to that. Do I want to serve the Ecclesia church? Yes. Do I want to serve the machine church? No. Those are two separate things, right? I want to serve the family of God that gathers together. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that's less pressure because there's one is actually extorting and like hurting and calling you out of your natural rhythms. Like if you have toddlers and you have kids, you're trying to figure out a life of a rhythm and cadence. And it's usually smaller. It's usually little like kind of bite-sized like blocks of the day, whatever it is. And so a lot of times, there's this weird shame and guilt that happens in the church culture where we call people to serve. And in that season, at least with toddlers and young kids, that deeply, in my opinion, burns a lot of people out. Like you can't, I'm serving my kids. I'm sorry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm serving my kids, and I think if I do that well, that'll have a better effect on the world, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, but here's what I'm saying with the single people. So that brings off less pressure because that hurts, or that feels like that stretches me beyond what I can do.
Yeah.
But I can invite people into my natural rhythms.
Right.
So we already have dinner.
Have them over for dinner.
We already have Shabbat on Friday. We already have a house with an empty bedroom. We're inviting people mm-hmm. into our natural rhythms, and that's the X factor. You don't need to do another thing. You just need to invite people into your natural mm-hmm. rhythms and say, hey, you have a seat at the table too.
Yeah. And I think as a single person, there's nothing better than going to someone's house and having a home cooked meal, or being able to sit on their couch and watch Netflix, or just to feel that love. And I think too, to see, oh, this is how family is done, or this is how mm-hmm. marriage happens, or just to be asked, like, how are you doing? How can we be praying for you? And I think as a married couple, it's also the biggest privilege to have singles at our table, and just to hear what God is doing in their life. I feel like they're so full of like faith and courage and adventure, and or just like being really, really faithful in a season maybe where they feel like, man, this is not what I signed up for. Mm. And so just to be able to have that relationship is really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think just seeing your calling then as a married couple as kind of like a safe haven. And I think the Lord, if you are seeking the Lord, He will show you who to pour into. He'll show you who to call. Like maybe it is your nanny or your babysitter and you just invite them over for dinner once in a while, or whatever it is, like He will show you who to pour into.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to do a little caveat to, like, there's no pressure to have someone live with you. I think when we had people live with us, it was when we were
first married, and then there was one when we had kids.
A baby. And then once Sissy became a toddler, it just was...
Yeah, we said we're going to take a pause for this season.
I can't do
sure.
it right now. We're mm-hmm. in the middle. We're in the throes of discipline and learning what our discipline philosophy is. And as a mom, I feel like I'm pouring so much out to my kids. And if somebody lived with us, I want to be able to pour into them, and I just don't have the capacity right now. And so I think I just wanted to do a little caveat. Like, it's just whatever. And all three of those people that have lived with us, it was so from the Lord. Like, I knew the Lord was telling me, open your home to them. Like, mm-hmm. give them the extra bedroom. And it was a huge blessing to have them in our home. But I think the Lord really does speak to that. It's not like you have to have the pressure of, oh, we have a spare bedroom, 100%. So we should have someone live with us.
And
you
And I'd actually say, unless the Lord audibly kind of speaks again, and because we want to be open to that, then I would say we're in a season of like, not right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we had that. It was a season, and I think we'll do it again in the future. But like, you got to go. I think you have to make sure you're at a place, you're at a place of fullness, because I think if you do have mm-hmm. someone live with you that's single, and there's a married single dynamic, or just even meeting with them, doesn't have to live with you, I think you have to be in a place where you can be full so that you can give.
Yeah.
And so if you feel like, and I feel like the toddler season is very much like baseline. Like, we're just trying mm-hmm. to, we're just trying to stay healthy, or we're keeping all our effort to stay full. And so we don't mm-hmm. have like, we need to protect that for our own self.
So yeah, I think there's a, just seeking the Lord on that.
Yeah.
And then I think for singles to pursue a family, like find a family that you love, find someone who's like, I love their kids. I just want to get to know them more, or a marriage that you look up to, or somebody that you really connect with. And just so simple, be like, hey, can I take you out to coffee? Can I take you out to lunch? Can I come over for dinner and I'll bring pizza or something like that? And just to be able to have that relationship. And I was thinking, you know, Jeff and I, we've talked a lot about college, and that's a whole nother issue. But I was thinking that, man, when I was in the college season of life, the one thing that I wish I had that I think would have changed everything, because, you know, I went to California, I moved away from home, I moved away from my church, my community, and I felt kind of like a fish out of water. And you're surrounded by people that are all the same age as you in the same season of life. If I had had a family to connect with and mm-hmm. even just go over to their house once a month, I think that would have changed everything.
Yeah.
Just to like have someone that's not in the same season, be able to ask their advice or wisdom, or be able to go someplace to get refueled that's not by people that are all my same age in my season of life. And so I know some families now who, you know, who have welcomed college students in their life, like have chosen one, like
a friend's son
who is like in their college town. It's like, okay, like you're mine this year. Yeah. Like every Friday night you're at our house you're welcome at our table. Yeah. You're having dinner. Like, you know, we're here for you if you ever need a place to stay. I feel like that is so that's what the Lord wants. Like, totally. That's how he set it up. Yep. And that gives so much life and also kind of like this protection that we're lacking in our individualistic American culture.
Which is the outpost. But no, I mean, I think the outpost is the perfect picture of that. Of like, it's a good word for it.
I'm just adding more imagery to the
Well, no, I think I'm just saying I agree.
Outpost and infantry. Guys, I don't know any army
No, I'm saying I think you're right. Like, I think that's a good word for it. It protects.
Yes.
And I think... I even know a church, I forgot where I heard about it, but they actually have, like, it's a mega church, but they have, you know, it's a mega church in a college town. And so they have, you know, a college night or whatever, worship night on Fridays or whatever. So you got 800 college, I don't know what it is, but it's just huge and they have a ton of college students. So they start doing like this adoption program. I mean, that's just the word they chose, but it's like, you know, literally they just paired up a college student with a married couple and said, hey, if you're going to live here for 4 years and go to the school, then this is your family. Right. Yeah. This is your family. And they actually went through. And man, can you imagine the fruit from that? Mm-hmm. And the more I think about it, I actually will double down and say that, like, not only that one with Lloyd and early on, but like even then in Pacific with another pastor and his wife where I interned at the church. Like I was essentially in my 18 to 22 year old stage, I was discipled by married couple. Like I was discipled by the home.
Yeah.
I was discipled by the dinner table. I was discipled by married couples.
Which I think is how God wants it.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Even when I was an intern, so this was after college, and I moved to Maui and I was living with other girls my age, the church really came around me as a home. But I had Robin Jones Gunn, who you might have heard the podcast with her. Yeah. She's kind of a mentor of mine. But she was kind of my, like, one of my safe houses that I went to. And I remember when I broke up with another boyfriend, not Jeff, but like,
but his name was Jeff. Jeff and Jeff.
They were just kind of in my life in that season. And it was kind of like, they would invite me over. They would ask how I was doing. Yep. And they could tell I was just like really heartbroken. And she just sent me downstairs and was like, okay, just go cry out all your tears down in the guest room and then come up when you're done. And I would spend the night at their house. And I think having that safe place that is this protection was such a gift.
Well, so that's what I want to encourage you guys with. If you're a married household, your home is a gift. It is a place of rest, of a haven, of refueling. And are you using it as that? And maybe it is really small. Maybe it's just a dinner with someone or whatever it is. But I
just
think
like have pizza.
But I think it'll fill you back up, and it'll also because it's more in the stream of being on mission of what marriage is called to be, which is to be that picture of the church, Christ in his church, going out, loving, serving, etc. And so what I would say is, if you're single, specifically if you're young single, like pursue and you want this. Like if you're actually, man, like I wish a family would adopt me. I wish I had more whatever married friends. Then I say pursue it. Like, ask them. One tip I would say is this one, you do kind of have to like trade the work for the blessing, where I would say, like, if you want it, but no one's pursuing you, then get creative. Like I guarantee you any family will adopt you if you say, I'll fold laundry for 5 seconds.
Yeah,
like, not even like, don't go crazy. Like, don't even go crazy. Just say like, I will do one load every 5 years. And they will say, yes, amen. Like, move in. We'll feed you. We'll clothe you. We'll pay you money. So like, do that if you need to. Like, I think just say, hey, can I serve you for a little bit? And while we're, you know, and can I have dinner with you once a week? Whatever, be bold. And then if you're married, look for those people, have your eyes open on people. One of the saddest things I see is a lot of married people kind of purposely retreat from singleness, single culture, single people, college towns, college areas, young adults, etc. Keep your eyes open, be aware, be looking for it. But then I'd also say, I know older single people, we're talking 30s, 40s, and 50s, that are actually, that's more at the level, I think, where you're some of the most the people I know who do it really well are some of the most prolific leaders. Mm. And so I think step into that, stay into that. And I know a lot of like the older level singles, I know people, multiple people at that stage that are absolute just like powerhouses for the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage them to like stay in that. If that's you, you have that, like, because that's more like the Paul stage, I think. So if you're a young single, I think it's like the safe haven. And then if you're more like the Paul, like, man, go do the Lord's work. Like, just go, you have a mobility and you have a flexibility about you that can do that. There's struggles to it. It's hard. You might not want to be single, but I've seen a lot of people at that stage who they actually, and I think that's the argument Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 7, where he starts kind of saying, like, it's funny. It's really funny that we have like an idolatry of marriage in the West, right? Where I think sometimes, and that really annoys me at churches, where we just only talk to married people. We act as like, to be a good Christian, you have to be married. No.
Or you always ask a single, like, oh, is there someone you're dating?
Yeah.
When are you
like, they
get
might
married?
Just want to be single. They might just want to be single.
Or it's just not what God has for them right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Or
can't
they might
control that.
They are single and they might not want to be. Whatever it is, like, I just think we need to be really careful with our language. We need to not create an idolatry of marriage and like that singleness is second class. They're 100% parallel lines, two different missions. Then we need both. Like, married people will actually not be able to do their job if we don't have, like, it's again, it's a symbiotic relationship. And again, look how the church grew.
Yeah.
If like, guys, it's all over the New Testament that like, that a household gets saved and gets baptized. And then a household becomes an icon and an anchor in that community that is then a safe haven where everyone starts gathering, right? I think of the verse in Mark 5, which is a hilarious verse because, so this is one thing I think maybe we'll end on this. I think a lot of times we, well, let me finish first that one thought I was saying about like single. Like I think if you're older and single, like understand that like 1 Corinthians 7, Paul seems to be making the argument that you can actually do the best work. Mm. Like if anything, marriage is JV. If anything, it's not. But if anything, 1 Corinthians 7 seems to lean there. Like he kind of, like we got, like, why do we not talk about that? Like it's, and I'm totally shooting myself here because I'm married. But it kind of says that in 1 Corinthians 7, right? Where it kind of Paul's like, oh, well, if like you need to, go ahead. Like if you need to get married, go ahead. Is it like
if you're burning with passion?
Well, that's the sex part, but yeah, that's right in there too. Like, yeah, if you're just burning, I'm on fire. But I also think that verse has gotten a lot of Christian culture people into some bad marriages.
Yes.
But that's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother podcast, you feel me? Okay. Okay, but I'm just saying the tone that I seem to see in Paul, specifically in the letter to Corinth in chapter 7, is actually like singleness is the most dignified. Mm. Singleness is the most prolific, the most high level. And I'm not saying we need to like switch one for the other of like now marriage is JV. I'm just saying like understand that like Paul gives it a huge amount of weight and a huge amount of glory.
Mm, honor.
And honor. That's the word I'm looking for. You're really helping me. I'm struggling with words today, but you're helping me. And so I'll end with this. This is the thought, like if you're married, be a stinking good married calling, right? And couple. And if you're single, live in that calling well. Like I think we want to be each other's callings too much,
yeah.
Right? Like singles want to try to live in a married calling. And I mean, in the very general, like kind of like vision of scripture calling, just like kind of what the purpose of it is. And then married people, like I see this is the trick that happens with a lot of like ministry marriages where the dad totally tries to live single and the family's like, dude, this sucks, right? It's like, hey, I got called to Uganda and I'm going to go chop down the bush and we're going to go save people and translate the Bible over there. And then they go and then the whole family just goes to crap, right? And to me, do I know families that have done that? Yes, but I know that's because they got, like everyone got asked. Mm. Like it's a married calling. So hear what I'm saying. Like God wants us to reach unreached people groups, et cetera. And that can be married or single. But I'm just saying, I think I see the ministry, like we kind of like dad specifically sometimes can kind of say, we're doing this, sucks to be you.
Well, okay, that's very harsh. But I think it's just been said like whatever the guy is called to, the family just has to follow.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Instead of saying, okay, obviously the Lord has put you together. He has given you your spouse. He's given you however many kids you have with their specific personalities. And he is now giving you and your family a calling. So what is that? And it may be totally different than if you had been single.
Totally.
And so I think you have to press into that instead of just saying like, God's calling me to this, so now we're all going.
Exactly.
And whatever that looks like.
Which I think then is trying to have a single calling when you're married. You know what I mean? Like it's like, when again, the actual calling can be the exact same, but the question is your family called to it, not you? That's not how it works, right? That's not how it works. And I know a couple families that have done insanely incredible, awesome overseas work, like on the front lines, and their family was called to it, and you see it. The whole family lights up. It's like a team where you're just like, dang, the 10-year-old's dominating, getting people saved, and has this skill, and teaches the family this. And I was thinking the carpenters in Israel, even like you just see like this family, and it's like, man, they're meant to be here.
Yeah,
their whole family is meant to be here, meant to be doing this. And so, I just think that's really, really important to understand that, and then that just live in your calling with contentment. Mm-hmm. And then the last verse
I will just say too, I think then for those who are getting married, make sure that you guys have the same vision.
Yeah.
Like it's really important because now God is going to call you on a mission. And in marriage, it is, that can be challenging to be like, what is our calling? We're going to do it together. I'm going to follow you. We're going to do this as a family. And so to make sure if you aren't married, make sure whoever you're thinking of getting married to, like you guys are going in the same direction.
Totally. And I think, again, guys, this is all over scripture. We just don't tend to wrestle with it. One of my favorite verses is in Mark 5 where Jesus heals this guy, right? And then the guy kind of starts, I kind of see him start like getting really excited, like, oh, Jesus, let me follow you. Let me be with you. Let me go do all the things you're doing. And Jesus literally turns to him and the exact verse is, says, Jesus says, go home to your family. Like, no. Jesus says, no. Like, I don't want you popping all, like, you got a wife and kids, dude. Like, go back there, right? Like, he was just going to leave him or something. And again, I think we conflate these, like, disciple callings, which, by the way, like, Peter and James, these people, when they were called, most likely, by the way, they were about, the records show that probably, they were probably about 18 or 19 years old. Mm. I don't think people wrestle with that. Like, these were not 33-year-old men. Mm-hmm. Like, Peter was in probably 19 when he got called. And he could just say, okay, right? And go do his thing. And it says, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And so again, I think there's two ideas and they're both needed. Matthew 28, go out into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey my truth and my teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's also when Jesus says, and go home to your family. Like those are the same. You make disciples at home, you can make disciples afar, you can make disciples in a mobile way, you can make disciples in a stationary way, but you got to understand what God's actually calling you to. So would you add anything?
No, good word.
Guys, this was one of those ones that could have been like 5 hours. So please, please, please be kind to us. Like in the sense of like, I said a million things that I was like, oh, I want to go 10 minutes on that one, 10 minutes on that one.
Let's just say we know that this can be a hard topic and there's a lot of feelings behind it and a lot of past experiences and a lot of longings and desires. And so hopefully this is an encouragement to you.
Totally. And complexity. This is an issue riddled with complexity. I know people that are single and want to be. I know people that are single and don't want to be. I know people that are married and want to be. Married and not want to be. Like, have understand the calling. Don't understand the calling. What we tried to hope and tried to do on this episode is simply just kind of paint a picture of these are actually mission-oriented institutions that deeply need each other. If you leave with that thought, that we hopefully showed you that from scripture and talked about that, then I feel like that was a success and everything else can be wrong. But hey, we love you guys. Hit us up on the Instagram post, hit us up on whatever you're at, tweet, DM, etc. We love hearing from you guys.
Tell us what your favorite chapstick is.
No, because I don't want to hear that if it's not chapstick. I don't want to hear that. But hey, all right, we love you guys.
Send Jeff a chapstick.
Chapstick, sponsor me. All right, peace.